Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
Has this past week felt to you like you're living in the midst of a storm? Has it felt like that the political winds of our nations has been buffeting your life? Does it feel like as you read about rising COVID numbers that the rains are beating upon you hard? Perhaps you have been experiencing bad health news, either for yourself or for someone else, and you feel the buffeting of that in your life. Perhaps you're involved in a difficult relationship and there's conflict. Perhaps you're experiencing financial hardship of one kind or another. Storms are a reality of our lives. And for those of us who follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, one thing we need to be clear about is that we are not exempt from those storms. To be a Christian does not mean that God somehow puts a bubble around us, that somehow protects us so that we're not affected by them. When we look at the life of Jesus Christ, we see that in His life, trouble was with Him constantly. He experienced the storms of political strife. He experienced the storms of illness and death. He experienced the storm of misery and dissatisfaction and conflict. He experienced the storm of people who vehemently disagreed with the message that He was sharing of a God who is in heaven and desires people to be reconciled to Him. Jesus understood the reality of storms. Indeed, He told His disciples, He said, in this world you will have trouble. And you and I experience trouble. And Jesus never promised that in this world we would be exempt. Oh, there is a world to come, and Jesus spoke at times of that, but this morning, we're going to focus on what to do when the storms assail us in this life. And we're going to look at what Jesus has to say about dealing with those storms. We're looking in Matthew chapter 7 today. These verses are printed for you in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. We're looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Invite those of you at home to follow along as well, whether you have your own Bible or you can follow the verses that are up here on the screen. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. This is what Jesus says. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. As Jesus is wont to do, He takes an illustration from the physical world and uses it to teach a very important spiritual world reality. Here He's talking about building houses. And if you want to have your house stand when the storms come, you need to build your house, He says, on a solid foundation. Now, in Palestine, in Jesus' time, they built houses during the dry season, during the time of year where there was very little rain. And if you were someone getting ready to build a house and you had a choice between building a house on the sand or having to dig down and find bedrock so that you could build your house with bedrock as your foundation, you had a choice to make. Now, as you looked around you, the weather is gorgeous. It's a blue sky. There is not a cloud to be found. The rains are, they're nowhere. Why do all that work? Why spend all that time digging down to bedrock? It seems perfectly fine just to build your house on top of the surface, which is a sandy surface. But Jesus is saying, and as people there knew, that there would come a day, a rainy season day, when there was so much rain that the floodwaters would rise, and those floodwaters and the rains and the winds would beat upon your house. And if it was not built on a solid foundation, then you took the risk of your house collapsing. And Jesus uses that reality to talk about the contrast two points of view, one which he calls wise and one which he calls foolish. The wise point of view is to say, how am I building today in light of what is coming in the future? I know that storms are coming. That's just part of a reality of life. So if I'm going to be working on my life today, I need to be building my life today in such a way that when the storms come, I will be ready. Jesus says if you do that, then you are a wise person, like the wise house builder. If, however, you look at your life today, if your life happens to be going pretty well, if things are feeling okay, if storms are something that you're not really experiencing very much of, if you're happy with the way things are, and you look at your life today and say, I don't really have to work that hard on my life. I don't really have to worry that much. Things are pretty good. Jesus' warning is this, that storms are coming. It is just a fact of life. And when those storms come, as those difficulties are going to come to your life, are you going to be ready for them? Are you going to do today what you need to do in order to be prepared tomorrow? If you find yourself today in a perfectly fine season of life, be careful not to assume that that will just continue in the same way. So, Jesus says, how do you build a life foundation that can stand the storms when they come? Jesus says, it is to hear and to follow me. Today, to hear and to follow me. And if that means doing some hard work, if that means doing some hard thinking, if that means making some decisions that don't really seem like I need to make them today, I'm doing okay, I'm doing just fine. Why should I need to focus so much on what Jesus is trying to teach me? Jesus says, because there will come a time that you will need what I am teaching you, and you will need to be living a life that is following my teachings. And if you don't do that now, when the storms come, you won't have time to build it. The storms will bring about destruction. The house will fall, he says, and with a mighty crash. Because you can't live the Christian life, Jesus is saying, just simply, oh, you know, if there comes a time in my life that I will need Jesus, I'm sure I can tap into him then. Today, I'll just kind of do my thing. Because the hard day will come. And in that hard day, you will find the storms being incredibly strong. And you will not have the time, you will not have the opportunity, not because you've been abandoned somehow by Jesus Christ, but because you have not been building and strengthening your life. Now, the past three Sundays, we have been focusing on some words of Jesus back from the sixth chapter of this Gospel of Matthew. And for those 3 weeks, we've been talking around the topic of worry. And that's a good example of what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus told us back in chapter 6, he said, the ground of worry, or where worry comes from, is looking at the things of this world, whatever they may be they material things, or be they ways of thinking or philosophies, whatever is going on in the world, that we look at those things and we elevate them to a position of importance ahead of God. That these things somehow become more important to us than the things of God. Now, Jesus is not saying that the things of the world are in and of themselves wrong or sinful. What is sinful is to take those things and to covet them, to want them so badly, to focus on them so intensely that they take away our attention from God, that take away what God desires for us to do about those very things. And if that is the way that we live, Jesus says, it's going to bring about worry because we will worry about holding on to them. We will worry about how to try to accumulate them. We will worry about, well, what happens if someone tries to take them away from us? As Jesus says, where thieves steal and where rust and moths corrupt. See, that is part of what happens with the things of this world. And one of the storms that we often experience in life is something that we value really, really highly, whatever it may be, that we are feeling it slip from our fingers, that we're beginning to lose it, that things aren't working out the way that we thought, and we worry about it, and we are anxious about it, and we're working really hard to try to fix it. Or if we finally lose it, then we experience anger and bitterness and frustration because that thing was so important to us. And we begin treating people in ways that God does not desire. We bring down the kingdom of God. We bring ill repute upon the name of God. Because these things that were so important to us, that we worked so hard for, that we took so seriously, and some of them can be serious things, but we took them more seriously than our commitment to Jesus Christ. And now we've gotten off track. As Jesus said, we have been trying to build up earthly treasure. And the nature of that kind of treasure is going to be in its eventual loss. And even if you're able to hold on to it to the day you die, even if you're able to have that particular thing that you hold so high until the very last day of your life, chances are very good that you are going to have diminishing satisfaction in what you have. See, because part of the reason that we go for these things, part of the reasons that we place them even higher than God, is that we have this view that these are the things that are going to make me happy. These are the things that are going to satisfy me. These are the things that are going to make me feel like my life really matters, that it's worth something. These are the ultimate things that we've placed up there. And even if somehow we hold on to them to the last day of life, when we're lying there in our bed, and the doctor has said you don't have much time left, are those things really going to be the things that sustain us as we leave this life? Jesus says the reason that you worry is because you're not seeking first the kingdom of God. And when you worry, when you're anxious, you begin to act in ways and live in ways and treat other people in ways that are antithetical to what God desires for you. And what does God desire? He tells us there in Matthew chapter 6, is don't put those things on such a high pedestal. Don't treasure those things. Instead, treasure the things of God. Make those your highest priority, because you know what? No thief can steal that because it's God's. No rust or moth is going to corrupt that because it belongs to God. And He's in charge of the whole universe. And if He says, this is really important to me, be assured that it is never going to diminish in importance. There is no earthly power that can remove it out of God's hands. It will be there for you. And Jesus says, if you're seeking those things, if you're seeking those things of God, and if you're using what you have, your material resources, your intellect, your time and energy, the things you focus on, if you're primarily making those available to God and say, God, use these things for your glory, not to build my kingdom, not to satisfy what I think I need to do to make myself happy or to feel successful or satisfied or somehow important in this life. But I want to work for your glory, if you will, for your success, even though he doesn't need that. He's successful without us. But that's what we want. We want to see the name of God to be revered in the world, to be honored. We want people to be grateful for those of us who follow Jesus Christ and seek to do things in his name for the sake of others. We want the name of Jesus Christ to be lifted up. When we're seeking those things, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, then God will make sure that all that other stuff that could so easily take up all your time and attention, let God handle that. Let God take care of that. Not that you don't have to do anything about it, but trust that God will manage it. God isn't asking you to just ignore all of that. God is just saying, trust me that I'll take care of it. If you're willing to first take care of the things that are most important to me, I'll make sure that these other things of secondary importance are still going to be okay for you. That's what Jesus says. See, the thing about worry is it causes us to doubt God. It is difficult for us to have faith in God, to trust in God, as we're racing after these other things. But if we're seeking His kingdom, then we're learning how to trust God. Then we're starting to see that God is true to His word and that He is fulfilling the needs of our lives, that He is taking care of us, that God is with us every step of the way. And so daily, because we're living according to Jesus' teaching and we're following His word, every day we're concentrating and focusing. I will trust God today. I will not pursue those things as if they were more important than God's things, but I will subject them to God. I will say, God, what do you want me to do this day with the resources I have, with the opinions that I have, with the skills I have, with the authority that I have perhaps in my family or in my place of work or just within my relationships? How do you want me to treat other people today? Those things are most important to me. And when they are, we will see that God takes care of all of life, not just those particular things, but all things. And we will learn to trust God. And what Jesus is saying, that's wisdom. Even if today life is pretty good, you didn't wake up this morning saying, oh my goodness, this is a terrible day. I need God to run my life today. No, you could wake up saying everything is just great. Everything is going fine. But I still want to be serving God today. I want to be careful that I'm not putting anything ahead of God. If we do that on a day-to-day basis, we're building that solid foundation. And here comes the storm. Here comes the rainy season, and it beats on us. But because we have built up experience of trusting God, our faith is strong in Him, then God will strengthen us to stand in that day. See, the danger of storms, when we've been foolish, when we've not been building our life on what Jesus says, the danger of storms is they will knock our faith right over. That people will say, I no longer trust God because look at this difficulty in my life. Look at what just happened in the world. Look at what's going on with this issue or that issue. Look at what's going on with this disease. Look at what's happening in this part of the world. How am I supposed to trust God when there's all these storms around me? Your house is coming apart. And that day is not going to be the day that you wake up and say, oh, today I better start learning how to trust God. It's not going to work that way. But if you wake up to whatever the storm may be and you've been living a life of trust, even if it has been in small, everyday kinds of things, when we're faithful in the small things, God says, then we will be faithful in the large things. And so here come the big stuff, and we're able to remain faithful to God. We're able to trust Him that He is still in charge. He's got the whole world in His hand, says the song, and that's a bedrock biblical truth. He does have the whole world in His hands. There's nothing that can take what God has out of His hands. There is no human power. Life for the Christian is not a life that is lived in based on chance or on fate or on luck somehow. It is based in trust in a living God who has the power to do what He has promised, and that is to meet our every need. When I was preparing to graduate from college, I had a degree in chemical engineering, and I was offered several different positions, and the one that Lori and I, we had been married for a little less than a year as I was getting ready to graduate, the one we're looking at had a really good salary. Well, then the church where Lori and I had been volunteering in the youth department as leaders, they came and asked if I'd be willing to be their new junior high minister. And the salary they offered was about half of the chemical engineering job. Now, Lori and I had very little money. Also, we just found out that we were pregnant with Ryan, which was very unexpected, and we knew that that was going to put an additional financial burden on us. We're very concerned about doing the church job because of the financial reality of our situation. And yet, as we talked about it, as we prayed about it, as we talked with other people and sought their advice, other people who, like us, were seeking the will of God and trying to understand where God was taking us, we felt strongly that God was calling us to stay at the church and to be involved in the junior high ministry. And that is what we did. And God was faithful because we wanted to seek the things of God. Yes, there were financial concerns. Yes, there were all kind of realities that seemed to speak against going that direction. But if once we felt God leading us there, and because both Lori and I had been privileged to be raised in Christian homes, and the Christian life is something certainly we were not doing perfectly, but it's something that we had been working on in our teenage years and in our college years, and with the input of wise and mature Christians into our lives, when it came time to make this what felt like a very stormy kind of decision, because it had some pretty big implications in our lives, by far the biggest other than getting married itself. We felt that if we went God's way, we could trust Him to do what He had promised to do, and that was to care for us, and especially at that time, to care for us financially, that we would have what we needed. And we had 12 wonderful years at the church. I'd take another sermon to tell you about all the wonderful ways in which God's blessed us there at that church. And as we grew as a young family and two more children were added during those years. And it was a wonderful time. And God blessed us in all kinds of ways financially, as long as well as these other things that were concerns that we were thinking about in terms of making the decision. Now, there were maybe times that there are things we would have wanted that we did not have the financial ability to be able to go out and get, but we were never in financial need or really in any other kind of need. God provided for us, not because He was rewarding us for making the quote-unquote right decision, but because it was part of the ongoing way in which we believe that Jesus Christ has been teaching us to live. That's now almost 40 years ago that we made that decision. And we are still grateful that we did. God has used that in our lives in so many ways. The storms will come in different forms and in different ways. But if we're living daily, whether in the midst of a storm or when things are going pretty good, but living it daily according to the teachings of Jesus, then we will be able to stand. Because the God who loves us and cares for us has promised that we will stand, that our faith will remain strong, that we can trust Him to care for us as He has promised to do. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for this illustration that Jesus gives here in Matthew chapter 7. Father, may we be wise, like the wise builder. May we recognize that even though life can be pretty okay, like building a house when there's no sign of any storms, that it's tempting to do the easy thing. It's tempting to do what we want to do, to focus on the things that we think are most important, to try to accumulate whatever it is that we think will give us happiness or joy or a sense of accomplishment in life. But Lord, may we not be tricked by that. May we be building that solid foundation. And so when the difficult decision comes, when the storm of disappointment hits, when we are buffeted by the reality of something going on in the world over which we certainly have no control, but leaves us upset and unhappy and disturbed, Lord, at that time, it will not damage our faith. It will not pull us down into despair and into the darkness of doubt. But rather, we will be able to stand strong. Our house, our spiritual house, will be on the solid foundation of doing today what Jesus calls us to do, to be today what Jesus calls us to be, so that tomorrow we will be able to stand. Father, we thank you for the wisdom of what we have learned today through your word. May we live according to that wisdom, we pray. In Jesus' name.